Hello and welcome to Logan City Christian Church Podcast. Today we have an impactful teaching by Dr. Reginald Klimenok. Dr. Klimenok's preaching has touched the lives of many, inspiring and challenging audiences with his deep insights into the Bible and Christian theology. Join us as we delve deep into his powerful messages, uncovering timeless truth and practical wisdom that can transform our lives today. Get ready to be inspired, encouraged, and equipped as we journey through the rich tapestry of Dr. Klimenok's preaching.
Can we pray? Can we stand in the presence of God for a moment? Holy Spirit, we ask you now to come. You already are here. We sense your awesome presence and power. But now, Lord, will you come and teach us concerning yourself, that we will know how wonderful you are in our lives, that everything we possess comes from the Holy Spirit. Help us, we pray in Jesus' name. And all the people said, you may be seated. Thank you. Jesus, there's no one as important beside Jesus and the Father to you than the Holy Spirit. This is the period when the Holy Spirit lives on the earth. Everything has come from God. It has come through Jesus Christ. Everything we have is because of Jesus. But it's always manifest through the Holy Spirit. Years ago, God showed me Corinthians where it says that God is the source. About the gifts of the Spirit, it says very clearly that God is the source of everything. Maybe you can turn to it if you wish. I didn't plan to, but maybe it'd be good to see that for a minute. That God is the source of everything. Verse chapter 12 of 1 Corinthians. You should have known that. It says there are differences of administration, which means diakone, that Jesus is the means, but the same Lord, that's Jesus. There are diversions of operations. That's one about God, which is energema. The source of all is God. But the phaneros is the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with all. It's all of the Father. It's what? Through the Son, and it's in fellowship with the Spirit. You walk today all because of God. Everything comes, it's of God, the peace of God, and so on. But it's all through Jesus Christ. And the means, he's the vicar of Christ upon the earth. The means of everything is Jesus. It's the Holy Ghost. He represents, I don't think we ever see Jesus in person, in the sense the Holy Spirit reveals Jesus to you in a vision. He never leaves the Father's side. He's always there. But because he's omnipresent, the Holy Spirit brings Jesus to you in a vision, if you have a vision of Christ. Now, when Jesus Christ was upon the earth, he spoke so much about the coming of the Holy Spirit. Just before he left this earth, he kept emphasizing constantly. For example, in chapter 14 onwards, we have that message of Christ. It's the last message he preached in, I believe, around the feast of the Passover. And he says in verse 16, I will pray the Father, he will give you another. Remember, that means Allah is the same. As if I was here, could have used the word heteros, he didn't use the word alos, as if he was here, that he may abide with you forever. How long? Even the Spirit of truth from the world cannot receive. But ye see him, because he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. I will leave you comfortless. I will come in the person of the Holy Spirit. Verse 26, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things. And nearly every chapter onward here, it talks about the presence, just for a few chapters, and the coming of the Holy Spirit. And we today are the recipients and the ones that can walk in fellowship with the Holy Spirit and receive all that the Holy Spirit is to us. It tells us to walk in the Spirit, to commune in the Spirit, to have fellowship with the Spirit. We should be people that give great deference and honor and place in our lives to the presence of the Holy Spirit. And if you're walking in the Spirit, you'll have much more that God has for you. Amen. When you walk in the Spirit, you're not fulfilled, it says, the lust of the flesh or the works of the flesh. So God gives us so much, and it's all because what Jesus Christ has done for us. He's the means. Can you say amen? It's because of Him, because of that covenant, and the Holy Spirit manifest. Now, I'm going to give you some scriptures. We're just going to go through the Bible, the things that are very precious to me. That's what I'm doing tonight. Not so much preaching, but just sharing. In Psalm 32, and we'll notice there in Isaiah 32, in the first part, it speaks about the king coming to reign. This is, of course, I believe, finally in the righteous, in the reign of Jesus Christ, and also what happens when the king reigns. And then he talks about, he appeals to the women to understand the judgment that is coming upon the face of the earth. And he appeals to them, and so on. And then finally says this, all this devastation is on the earth until, verse 15, the Spirit be poured out from on high, and the wilderness becomes like a fruitful field, and the fruitful field, that's what virtue means, that becomes like a forest. When the Spirit comes, He changes things. Can you say amen? He transforms life. He transforms circumstances. He transforms everything around us until the Spirit comes. And if we can make room for that Holy Spirit and in our lives, and then, of course, it speaks about quietness and assurance and so on. In Ezekiel 36, just then, again, as we pour through the scriptures for tonight, in Ezekiel 36, when he speaks about Israel, what he will do to them when he's gathered them from all over the world, and of course that applies also to us, he says in verse 26, a new heart, verse 26, will I give them, Ezekiel 36, 26, a new spirit will I put within them, take away the stony heart of flesh, and will give you a heart of flesh. Now give me my, put my spirit within you. It's all to do with what? The Holy Spirit. You shall walk in my statutes and keep my judgments. It comes how? Out of the presence. He enables us to walk before God. He changes us. Come on, church. We need the Holy Ghost to give us that desire, that longing, that to follow Him with all of our hearts and minds and souls and beings, and to honor Him in everything that we do. It also says to us in Ezekiel 38, I think it is, if I got the scripture correct, or 39:29, it says, neither will I hide my face from them. I have poured out my spirit upon the house of Israel. When the Spirit is outpoured, the face of God, or the favor of God, or the glory of God comes to us. I want you to see how precious this person of the Holy Spirit is, and how much you should learn to really depend upon Him. He should be everything to you, but he never forces Himself upon you. You have to open your heart to receive Him, to make room for Him. I endeavor when we worship God to make room. I'm so passionate about that, to make room for the Holy Spirit in the worship, in the ministry that we have in here, in the touch of God that people should be touched by. A sister said, I've come before for this. Remember the testimony I had the other day from somebody when I was in Nauru that was nearly totally deaf, had damaged ears, came to Garden City, and she kept coming out constantly for healing. And one day, God healed those ears, and she's now in the music ministry, or the minister of music in the church. She came especially to tell us of the miracle. Praise God. And she still has the ears bad, but she can hear perfectly. And the doctor says, how in the world can you hear? God did it. Amen. But you see, what I'm trying to say is, don't give up. Pursue after. Amen. Go after until your faith is strong enough to receive what God has for you. Can you say amen? Thank you for your enthusiasm. Bob's not here yet tonight. In Proverbs 1, verse 23, it says, I will pour out my spirit unto you, and I will make known my words unto you. Through the Holy Ghost, he does what? He makes known his words to us. Do you know what that means when you open the Bible and suddenly it lives? Amen, church. And suddenly God speaks. It's the Holy Ghost making known his words. Amen, church. Unto you. Hallelujah. Praise God. I'm just giving you scriptures just to start with about the Holy Ghost. You see, everything in Jesus, as you'll see in a moment, happened because of the Holy Spirit. And everything in us should happen, should be understood because of the presence and person of the Holy Spirit, who will make known to us the wonderful words of God. In Isaiah 63 and verse 14. Amen. Interesting, he's talking about Israel further earlier in verse 9. He says, in all their affliction he was afflicted, the angel of his presence saved them, and his love and in his pity he redeemed them, and he bare them up and carried them. But they rebelled and vexed his Holy Spirit. The word vexed, I think in the Hebrew, is the word peh, which literally means tongue. In other words, they vexed the Holy Spirit by what they said. Amazing. Remember what they kept saying, Israel. They kept saying things that weren't correct, weren't right. They vexed the Holy Spirit. We don't want to do that. Can you say within? Say amen. Amen. It says, then you remember the days of Moses, verse 11, and his people saying, whereas he brought them out of the sea and with a shepherd or of his flock, was he that put his Holy Spirit within them. Even there, they had such a presence. Then it says in verse 14, and the beast goes down in the valley, and the Spirit of the Lord causes him to rest. Even God can touch the animal world. God can touch creation by his Spirit. Come on, church. God can quicken every part. This Holy Ghost, this Holy Spirit is the most... Even remember when Saul became king, the Holy Spirit was then, he was turned into another man. He was transformed into another man. Now, how can we maintain that fresh oil within us? How can we, like somebody said, it was Ben Hinder, said, we know when he comes with tremendous force and wonderful ways and power, but we don't know when he leaves. And that's the danger part. It's often demonstrated by a lack of fellowship, a lack of hunger, no desire for the word, for the works of God, no desire for souls anymore. But we don't know what he, and I don't want him to leave. Can somebody join me? I want him to be with me. And how can we maintain that fresh oil? He says he will give us fresh oil. I want what? Fresh oil. You know, there's something very powerful. When Sister was talking today about a shepherd and so on, in 1 Samuel, if I can find this, I was so blessed by it the other day, 22, when David is running from King Saul, and he runs to his father, his spiritual father. He runs to Samuel. I think this is the scripture. I've got this right. Oh, boy. I got this one right. Yeah, I think it is. And he sends out his servants. Oh, where is this? Here we are. Chapter 20, I think. Hope I'm right. And he sends out his servants to go because David is now fleeing from King Saul. And he sends the first bunch. And here is Samuel with the prophets together. And it says in verse 20, and Saul sent messengers to take David. And when they saw the company of the prophets, when they got into that presence of God, prophesying, Samuel standing as an appointed, he was the spiritual father. The Spirit of God was upon the messengers of Saul, and they also prophesied. They couldn't touch David. They came to get David, and here this anointing of God's presence was so powerful that they themselves got amongst them, and the Spirit of God arrested them. So it says in verse 27, he sent another messengers, others, and they prophesied likewise. And he sent the third time. What did he send them for? To get David. The whole purpose was, he's trying to kill David in this whole chapter. And David is in the presence of the anointed, amen, church, and the anointing of God. And they're saying, so finally, Saul himself comes. And he gets strips his clothes off and prophesies. Nobody could touch them. Amen, church. Oh, your enthusiasm. You can't find it. Your Bible hasn't. 1 Samuel chapter 19, you should have known. 1 Samuel 19, from about 18 to the end of that scripture. It's an amazing scripture. How when you get close to the presence of God, it has an impact on you. Hello, church. It has tremendous power to affect your life. And I'm supposed to be an anointed servant, otherwise I won't do this stuff. If I'm not anointed, I don't want to, and appointed, I don't want to do this. And there should be an anointing flowing to this room. Can you say amen? And it has been flowing. It's been happening gloriously. I know this is a holiday weekend, but it's been happening gloriously. Hallelujah. Can you say amen? So how can we maintain that fresh oil in our life? And this first thing I want to look at, it says in Corinthians chapter 3, I better get the right scripture before you tell me off. It says chapter 4, the last verse, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, the last verse. We look not at the things which are seen, but the things which are what? Unseen. But the things which are seen are temporal. The things which are unseen are eternal. You have to ever keep your mind away from the temporal things that afflict your life. It says, a light affliction. That's why I got this affliction effect wrong. In the previous verses, are just for a moment. And if you allow them in the presence of the eternal, they work in you a far and exceeding eternal weight of what? Glory. Amen. They have the power to change things, even the temporal, if you keep looking on the eternal. And so we have to fix our gaze, our life, our lifestyle. Not just one moment here. It's a whole lifestyle on eternal things. Because they will, and if you have affliction, if you have things that are happening to you, they're only temporal, but they can work in you a what? Far more exceeding, and that's that previous verse, if you ask me where it is, eternal weight of glory, verse 17. So if we get involved, number one, too much with our problems, we cannot have that presence of the Holy Spirit. We've got to watch that we don't allow the human needs to overpower us and cause us. Now you say, aren't they important to God? They are very important to God. The Bible says in 1 Peter 5, casting all your care upon Him. How many? All your care. Because He careth. And I think what Ken Copeland once said this, they're very important to God, but they should be insignificant to you. Because God's looking after them. Can you say amen? You should throw them upon God. Come on, church. So you've got to learn to don't let the afflictions get into your mind and get into your spirit, because they're very hard to get out of there, and then the Holy Spirit can't work in your life. You must be renewed in the spirit of your what? Mind. In Psalm 51, the psalmist, when he failed, prayed, renew a right spirit within me, in verse 10, create in me, Psalm 51, verse 10, create in me a clean heart. and cast not away from your presence. Take not your Holy Spirit from me. Cleanse me, prepare me, and don't let your Holy Spirit be taken away. And you must understand the blood. The blood of Jesus ever keeps away those things that could hinder the work of God in your life. And your mind and your spirit must be full. Watch that the problems, you remember what it says in Proverbs, I think 4, it says, oh boy, stay with me. Proverbs 4, it says, thank you, brother. It says, guard your spirit, or guard your heart, verse 23. For out of them are the issues of life. Proverbs 4:23. Where did it come out of? Your heart. You've got to guard your heart. That the temporal things, that the things of time and sense, that you don't peh. What does peh mean? Use your tongue to grieve the Holy Ghost. Say things you shouldn't. God's not with me. Button your lips. Be careful what you say. Because the afflictions can cause you to say things that shouldn't be on your lips. We'll be talking about that some other time when we get into the covenant. Because it's the covenant of promises, the covenant of words. And as we go through it, even we're going to see this very powerfully. So you have to guard your lips, guard your life, and guard your mind. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind ever, in the presence of the Holy Ghost. Can you say amen? And this, to me, takes that anointing, that fresh oil, away from you. And look at yourself and ask, is the anointing fresh in me? Are the things I'm allowing in my life, are the words I'm saying, are there some peh that is grieving the Holy Spirit, that is stopping me? Because there may be, the afflictions may be very real. I'm not saying that, but what kind of afflictions are they? Light affliction. But just for a moment. Do you think the early church had no afflictions? They had more than you've ever seen in your life. They went under intense, unbelievable suffering because of the witness. We don't do much witnessing today. We're too comfortable. Because of the witness for Christ, they suffered much. But it was a light affliction. And your affliction might be different, but it's still what? Light. And if you allow this, it worketh in you if you keep looking at the things which are what? Unseen. Because the things which are seen are what? Temporal. See, most Christians still think like the world. Forgive me. We live in the body of flesh that is just like any other sinner's body, to start with. And although we are saved, there's tremendous dangers to have a carnal mind, a natural mind, and not a mind living in the Word. We're going to talk about that in a minute. We can lose out with the living Word of God in our hearts and lives. We've got to be careful that this flesh, that's why we die daily, that this flesh doesn't predominate in our lives, the carnal mind rather than the spiritual mind. Remember in Romans what it said so very strongly about the natural mind and the spiritual mind, Romans chapter 8, to be carnally minded is what? Death. To be spiritually minded is life and peace. For the carnal mind is enmity against God, it can't submit itself to the law of God, and so on. And then in verse 13, we're going to talk about that in a minute. If we live, there's some very powerful things we must do every day. We shall die. So I'm saying to you, although we are saved, that body is still there. And we've got to know how to handle it. Can you say amen? How to bring it to death, how to bring that flesh to death, so that the Holy Ghost can predominate. You see, even what I said this morning about the new covenant, all that you have, he gave you what? All of health, that all the sickness might go. I mentioned some. And it's sometimes hard for us to grasp this, because we're still in this body of ours. But if you can get hold of it in your spirit, it can revolutionize your life. Totally revolutionize your life. Amen. God, you see, don't think like the world. Let the Holy Ghost come over your life. Let the spirit, mind of the spirit, let your spirit be quickened with the mind of the Spirit. Then to live in this anointing, you must live in the Word. It's very simple, this message. But boy, how important. You must live in the Word. Your life, that's why God gave us this Word, because the Word renews us. The anointing is always in the Word. Can somebody say amen? The anointing always quickens the Word to us, inspires the Word to us, brings the freshness of God to us. So you say, what can I do to aid the anointing? Get into the Word. Live in the Word. And the Word must be quickened to you. You don't just read it. Let the Word come alive to you. As you read it, the Holy Ghost will take, because it says, take the sword of the Spirit, Galatians, remember that, which is what? The sword of the Spirit. What does the Spirit use? The Word, which is the Word of God. So you quicken your life in the Word. Can you say amen? You open yourself up to the Holy Ghost. You quicken your life. You cry to the Holy Ghost to come. Sister's going to Dr. Cho's church. He was so conscious of the Holy Ghost. He'd never get up and say, come on, Holy Spirit, let's go. He made real to us many years ago, before Benny Hinn came along, that presence, that partnership with the Holy Spirit. That he's in fellowship. He says, the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you. The fellowship. You've got three things. The love of God, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and what? The fellowship, koinonia, the fellowship of the Holy Ghost. These aren't just words, church. You're overcome with unconditional love every day of your life. Otherwise, you wouldn't be saved. Can you say amen? You made a covenant, and the grace of God is in that. We talked to you about what that grace means, and we're talking more about that in the weeks to come in the covenant relationship. But then also, what is it? The fellowship. Can you say amen? And the Holy Spirit is a person who brings that Word alive to you. So when you go and read the scriptures, ask the Holy Spirit to help you. Ask the Holy Spirit to, can you say, live in the Word, discover its authority, discover its cleansing power, discover its life element. Know when the life of God is in that book and get hold of it with that life reality. Can you say amen? Amen. And get hold of that powerfully in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. You see, we're not just here to have church. We're here to meet with the Father, Son, and especially the Holy Spirit, who's here to meet your needs, who's here to come close to you. I want God to meet every need in this room. Can you say amen? I want God to affect every one of our lives. When you leave here, you have a greater passion, a greater hunger, a greater zeal, a greater desire for God until that life flows through you with awesome power. Can you say amen? And gives you direction and so on. And also, can I say, the Holy Spirit is very much involved in doing things in the ministry. He's not selfish. He's ever ministering to you, and now he wants to minister through you. All those manifestations of the Spirit in 1 Corinthians 12, or 14 rather, are all things that flow through us to other people. And so you've got to keep in your calling. You've got a desire to do something for God. There's no place of retirement. When you get to heaven, I don't care how old I am, until the last moment on this earth, I'm going to serve God. Amen. I don't have a mentality to say, well, it's time to retire, it's time to refire, but not retire. Because, you see, ministry, God always wants to use us. Look at Smith Wigglesworth. I love reading the lives of mighty men. They live to the last moment for the kingdom. I want to live like that. Amen, church. I want to live for him because, you see, I've got to keep in my, I call this in my calling, on the things that God wants to do through me. I never want to stop helping people, touching people, blessing people, doing something for God. Amen. Trying to witness to somebody. I missed it the other day. I think I went down the road and had some. I found a nice meal for a beautiful piece of pumpkin and chicken and potato, which I shouldn't have had. But for $4, it was good. All steam cooked, beautiful. And I brought some for my wife. But there are two ladies sitting just up there a bit. And God says, go and tell them about it. I didn't go. I said, they think I'm in the mic, cry, rape, rape. It happened to Bertelsen one day. He was in a brother Bertelsen, the great Lutheran spiritual minister. What's his name? Bertelsen. God said to him, as he was in the bus, said, talked about Jesus. So he didn't. She cried, rape! And he was obedient to God. He was learning how to walk with God. But he paid a price for it. So the devil told me, they might cry rape. I was going to go up to him and tell him just about Jesus. Don't laugh, it's serious to me. I missed the moment. You never know what would have happened if I had ministered and obeyed the Holy Ghost. Obey the Holy Ghost. He will lead you to people all the time. You see a sick person, just say, can I pray with you? Don't tell them some hocus-pocus stuff because they'll be scared stiff, but just say, I'm going to pray with you. I believe Jesus can heal you. You'd be surprised how many people will he can heal. Then invite them, get them into the family of God. Somebody say amen. Learn how to walk with the Holy Ghost. Can you say amen? Now, how can you intensify His presence? How can we get that presence of God more powerfully into you? I could go all night tonight because the Holy Ghost is so real to me. And just want to just these are simple thoughts, but in my life, that the practical nature of my lifestyle, that how can we intensify? Firstly, don't despise the little things. Don't just look for big things. Too many are looking for, I'm going to have a healing ministry somewhere. In Luke 16, we have some powerful words concerning this. Where am I? You are right. In verse 10, it says, he that is faithful in that which is least is also faithful in much. So you've got to learn to be faithful and to not despise the little things. And God will give you more. Can you say amen? Don't despise the little things that God does with you. Don't despise the beginnings. Amen. And God will entrust you, because if God gives you all at once, can you handle it? Well, yes, I can. You know what you're talking about. Benny Hinn often says, you do not know what price I pay for that anointing. You have no idea what price he pays. Some of us have moved a bit further and we have some idea. But don't despise the little things. Number two, you intensify it by association. How? By association. In Acts 4:13, they said they had been with what? Jesus. They saw the difference of their lives by the association they had with what? Jesus. See, Joshua had Moses. Elisha had what? Elijah. David's mighty men in 1 Samuel 22, that's the one I had before, which I mixed up. These were not very marvelous people when they came to him at first. It says in 1 Samuel 22, verse 2, where am I? And everyone in distress and everyone in debt, that's why we're all here, and everyone that was discontented gathered themselves unto him and became captain over them, with about 400 men, and they became the mighty men by association. Can you say, well, out of it there were great men raised up to be worship leaders. They became worshipers. He trained them to begin some of those great psalms you read are not David's psalms. They're psalms of some of the men that he trained. By association, can you say amen? But they became mighty men of So Paul had Timothy. So there's something about, you notice, I love to be in the presence of men like Benny Hinn and others, because my anointing gets intensified under that anointing. And then like vice versa. So there's something about relationships that produce that presence of the Holy Ghost. Also, you intensify, you get broken in spirit and contrite in heart. You're never proud in this. Once pride comes, the Holy Ghost goes. It's not a spirit of pride. Blessed are the poor in spirit, or the hungry for God, or those that long for God. And I told you before, to give yourself to the Word. Notice in Psalm, in Acts 6, when the apostles were got busy in things they shouldn't have got busy in, they said, pick out men to serve tables and so on, full of the Holy Ghost, even this, to administer. And he says in verse 4, but we will give ourselves, of Acts 6, to the minister of the word and to prayer. And there came the Holy Ghost in many aspects. But you see, it's in that word that God gave them the power to be divinely effective for them. Can you say amen? Amen. Amen, church. We won't be too long tonight. You say, I want more. My question to you is, and it may be a difficult one, can you carry more? Because it's so, we all get hungry for more. I get hungry for more. But can you really, sometimes Sunday night, I go through hell when I get home. So how can that be? The other men of God have said the same thing, especially when it's a night when I've moved in tremendous power. Demons come against me. You say, aren't you strong? You've heard others say, who's that guy that's got that tape, one of the powerful men, Beth, that we have a video of? I want to share this with you one day. Mike Bill interviewed him. Paul Cain. He says he doesn't move into this realm because when he does, it brings him under such attacks. You say, oh, how can this be? You're dealing with another realm. You're dealing with a supernatural realm. I thank God for a good wife. Can you say amen? You have no idea. You want to, I want to do this. That's fine. But can you handle it? Can you function in a greater, that brings you reproach? Can you handle it? You must live in repentance and brokenness. Amen, church. Can you say amen? And know how to function. Remember, the gifts and callings of God are without repentance. In other words, when God gives, he doesn't take it back. See, my mother asked for things, and God gave it to her. But later on, she said to me, I wish I'd never asked for it. Because she moved in such revelation, she could see things all the time about human needs. I mean, there was my mother, there was Jesus, there was God, there was Jesus, there was my mother. You couldn't sin in the presence of my mother. Impossible, because she moved. It's interesting. I was trying to find the scripture now. Did I put it down? Maybe I didn't put it down. Yes, Numbers 20, please, in your Bible. Remember when Miriam and Aaron turned against Moses? Why was Miriam punished and why wasn't Aaron punished? Because he wore the garments of the priests. And notice at the end of this chapter, it says, and verse 26, Aaron's coming to the end of his life, he's on Mount Hor, strip the garments, put them on Eleazar, Eleazar his son. Numbers chapter 20, verse 26, Mrs. K, Queen Elizabeth, and of his kind, put them on Eleazar and his son, and Aaron shall be gathered unto his people and shall die. The moment the garments came, see, they wouldn't touch him while the garments were on him. The gifts and callings of God are without repentance. So be careful what you ask for. Now that's tough. That sounds hard. As long as you can handle it. A lot of men in this world haven't had tremendous gifts but couldn't handle it. So about pastors fading. A lot of pastors can't handle it. And they get very natural and carnal in the ministry and not supernatural and godly in the ministry. Amen? I want to finish in a few minutes. I think I've said enough tonight to scare you stiff. But there's always, we're talking about the presence. We're talking about the anointing. I want more. I hunger for more. And I know there's a price. And I'm conscious of the price. And I often say, Lord, can I handle this? Amen. Hallelujah. But notice Jesus as I close here. Everything came. He was conceived by the Spirit. Then at the River Jordan, he was filled with the Holy Spirit. Then Luke chapter 4:1, he came back in the power of the Spirit and spent some time in Galilee. And then he came in Luke 4 and he said, the Spirit was upon me. In John 6:63, he says, the words that I speak unto you, they're what? Spirit, their life. Notice in Hebrews chapter 9, the Holy Spirit. I quoted that scripture, but don't forget what it says in the midst of this. It says, who through the eternal Spirit, how did he do this? Through the eternal Spirit offered himself up without spot to God. How did he do that? Through the power of the Holy Ghost. He could do nothing without the Spirit. His whole life. Now remember, as he is in the world, so are we. He could do nothing without the Holy Ghost. Nothing without him. Notice just before he leaves, already he is a risen Christ. But even then it says in Acts chapter 1 and verse 2, it says, until the day which we've taken up, when after that he through the Holy Ghost, when he was taken up, had given, how to do this? To the Holy Ghost, had given us commandments unto the apostles whom he chose. He did this how? Through the Holy Ghost. When he returns back from heaven in all his power and majesty and glory, it says, verse 8 of 2 Thessalonians, when the wicked shall be revealed, when the Lord shall consume with a what? Spirit of his mouth. He comes with the power of the Holy Ghost in that day, in that hour that is coming very, very soon. He comes how? With the power of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Notice in 2 Peter chapter 1, all the things we possess, it says in verse 4, whereby are given us exceeding great and precious promises. No. Verse 3, according as his divine dunamis. What is that? The Holy Ghost. Divine power hath given unto us what? All things that pertain to what? Life and godliness. How does it come? Through the power of the dunamis of God, through the power of the Holy Ghost. He gives us all things that pertain unto life. And notice as I close tonight, and I'm nearly there, not really there, but I close. It says in 1 Peter 1:5, who are kept, and the better word would be in the dunamis, 1 Peter 1:5, in the power of God through faith. How are we kept? In the power of God. It's all to do with the Holy Ghost. It's all to do with the presence and power of the Holy Spirit. We can do nothing without him. Can you say amen? It all comes. And that's why he told them to tarry in Jerusalem, brother, thank you, until you be endued with power from on high. And some of us maybe have to go, I understand, but I'm going to stay in that presence of God in the front here for a while. I'm going to ask the Holy Spirit to come with more and give us more. Can you say amen? But remember, more power, more responsibility. It's not for hoopla. It's for anointing to serve. Amen, church? Anointing to do the will of God on this earth. In power to do God's purpose. If you have to leave, we understand. But I'm just saying to you, I want to spend a bit of time. We're going to sing, Come Holy Spirit, I Need You. Remember that chorus? Come Holy Spirit, I Need You. We'll sing in a minute. We're going to just open this altar up for those who want to be with me in the front. We're going to pray for you. We're going to cover you. Remember, let the Samuel anointing in that sense be here, that when the soul comes, he can't get near unless he prophesies. Amen. We want that presence. Amen. But nobody can touch us. Amen in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah.
Thank you again for tuning in today's powerful message from Dr. Reginald Klimenok. We hope this has touched your heart and inspired your spirit. Stay connected with Logan City Christian Church for more uplifting sermons and spiritual guidance. Follow us on social media to join our community and stay updated on all our latest happenings. Remember, together we grow in faith and love. Until next time, may God's blessing be with you always.